Hey, and welcome everyone. It's the audio, sensor any audio thing. It's been a week or two since we had one of these. And I'm Jeremy. And on the other end this time is Eric Nelson, who hasn't been on in a while. So say hello, Eric.
Hey, I guess that makes this the asshole edition, right?
Yes. And we're going to get up to a rousing start.
Yeah.
Well, are you around the computer or?
No, I'm not.
Have access to YouTube real fast?
Not real fast. What can you tell me? What are you seeing?
Okay, well, there is a video from Japan that's going on YouTube called Ramming Speed.
Okay.
This isn't funny, but yes, it is. This lady gets in an elevator. The elevator closes. It's got mirrored doors, okay?
Yeah.
Now, it sits here for a good 15, 20 seconds. The doors finally close, and this guy on one of these rascal scooters runs right into the just-closed doors.
Okay? Nice.
Now, that's funny in and of itself. That's hilarious.
Yes.
This idiot proceeds to continue to ram the door until he actually busts through it, and all you see is him and his scooter disappear down the elevator shaft.
Oh, my God. I can see that happening in real life, sadly. I can see some, like, belligerent old asshole on his scooter.
Yeah, no, this
ramming into,
this
and
is
oblivious,
a security cam.
Oblivious, too, slamming into a door.
This is actually from a security cam.
Oh, God.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God, is right.
Yeah, this is real.
Wow.
Fucking
old
dope.
People.
That's what you get.
Yeah, that's true.
No, he looked like a young guy, just, you know, obviously can't walk anymore, so he just finally decided to give it up. So.
Are you sure it wasn't like George Costanza when he got that scooter and rode it around until his batteries ran out? And then he just got up and ran and the old people chased him down. Well, Jeremy, this sounds like a video you should be posting a link to on the Stunt Granny forum.
Yeah, we need to include that. That would be a very good idea, actually. So,
there you go.
All right. God damn, that's funny. That just totally ruined my drive here. Okay.
Hey, I know. Before we get started talking about professional wrestling, since we like to talk about everything else before then, I know you kind of wanted to mention this, but I'm so excited I have to say it. Man vs. Food tonight was filmed in Des Moines, Iowa.
All right.
And that is my current residence. And so it's very exciting for me. And
what was the name of that sandwich?
Oh, the Adam Emenecker. Emmanecker, I think. Adam Emenecker sandwich. Here we go. I'm about to break out an oldie but a goodie. This is what happens, and you haven't had me on the show for a couple weeks. Being the best basketball player on the Drake team is like being the prettiest waitress at Denny's. And having a sandwich named after him means jack shit around here, basically. Honestly, I bet you couldn't, if you polled 1,000 people on the street, I don't think a dozen of them could tell you who Adam Emenecker was. And if any of them could, it's because half of them watched the show tonight. But, what happened was, for those of you who didn't watch, sinners, there's a place called Jethro's Barbecue down by Drake University, which, by the way, is very well known for the shootings that happen around that area because it's a filthy-ass ghetto neighborhood. Jethro's Barbecue has excellent barbecued food, but they made this sandwich and named it after this basketball player who brought Drake all the way from obscurity up to about mediocrity. And it's got, let's see, in between the two buns, it's got a 12-inch tenderloin, and I know where you dirty people are going with that, two buffalo chicken tenders, a pound of brisket. Does that sound right, a pound of brisket?
Yeah, it was a pound of brisket, yeah.
Let's see. If I'm missing another meat, I apologize, but it's got two fried cheddar cubes. It's got a slathering of white cheddar sauce all over it. Topped with
pork tenderloin.
The pork tenderloin, that's the 12-inch tenderloin. And it comes with a pound of waffle fries on the side. And, of course, because Adam can do all the hot stuff in no time, but for some reason can't do the volume stuff anymore, he couldn't finish the sandwich. He still had 2 pounds. Oh, you have to eat it in 15 minutes, and the whole thing is 5 pounds, and you get a T-shirt. And he only ate 3 pounds of the 5 pounds of food. So there you go. And just
yeah, that was my thing.
Yeah, go ahead.
No, that was my thing. When they said there was 15, when they had 15 minutes to do it.
Yeah.
I was like, are you kidding? That'd take a couple people more than 15 minutes to eat it.
Yeah, I can't eat. I don't think I could eat that 12-inch tenderloin in 15 minutes, let alone put a pound of brisket and chicken tenders and shit on it. Jesus, I think bacon. Oh, there's a whole. I forgot about the whole fucking bacon cheeseburger they put on there too.
Yeah, that's what
I just explained. And light a bacon cheeseburger in the middle of it, and then go cart yourself off to the hospital.
And I don't know if I'll call you out on it now, but I think you said a 12-inch tenderloin. I think you meant a 12-ounce tenderloin.
Oh, was it 12-ounce? Okay, I thought it was 12 inches, like, wide, because they said they cut it in half just so it would fit on the bun. So maybe
no,
I misheard.
It was just poor timing, that's all. Because you just got done saying, hey, there's a joke there somewhere, and you proceed to go 12-inch, basically,
yeah.
Well, 12-inch piece of meat. So.
Yeah, Freudian slip.
Yeah. All right.
But, yeah, so anyway, it was. You thought it was disgusting. You saw it.
Oh, yeah, we were all in the room. It's like, that's just gross. Like, individually, that may be a delicious sandwich, but no.
Hey, what'd you think of the bacon-wrapped tater tots at the High Life Lounge?
Okay, look. I mean, I'm trying to watch what I eat, finally, for the first time in, like, years.
Okay.
So I try to just push that kind of shit out of my head now,
uh-huh.
And it looked pretty damn good, though. It's like,
yeah.
All that stuff looked decent. Well, that sandwich didn't, but...
No, the sandwich...
All that stuff looked somewhat decent, but blech. So,
yeah. And, yeah. Oh, the guy... okay, did you see the Black Market Pizza segment?
Yes, yeah.
The guy who said that he would kill somebody for that pizza and then order it if he was on death row is one of my best friends in this world, Marshall Stewart. I went to high school with him. He forewarned me that he was going to be on, so that was pretty exciting to see Mo on there.
Yeah, that's cool. Actually,
so
used his clip or whatever.
Well, if you can imagine, that sense of humor hangs out with somebody like me. I don't know. I find that hard to believe, joking about killing people. Please.
Well, did he say that guy was actually, like, kind of cool, or?
Yeah, no, he did. He didn't tell me a whole lot about it, but he did tell me that he was cool. And I'm assuming that because they're actually up in Ames, which is 30 miles north of here. It's, like, a completely different school. It's where Iowa State is. But I'm assuming that he and his crew, like, the girl that was on before him and the guy that was on before him are all friends of mine, too. I'm assuming they go to that restaurant often enough where the manager was like, hey, Man versus Food's going to be here on such and such a date. You might want to come and hang out.
Yeah, that's cool.
Anyway, yeah, so I thought I'd drop that little bit of knowledge. And one last thing while I'm battling, too. I just got back from a 3-day weekend vacation in Seattle and Portland, and I ate at, along with Carly and a couple of our friends, and Carly, yes, everybody knows who you are. We ate at the Crab Pot.
Have you mentioned her before?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I used to talk about my shiny new girlfriend. She's still shiny. Still kind of new, relatively new, because I'm an old man.
Yeah. They all get tarnished sooner or later. So.
Yeah. So we went to the Pacific Northwest. We ate at the Crab Pot for dinner one night where Adam has eaten before. We ate at Beth's Cafe where Adam could not finish the 12-egg omelet. And we also ate at Voodoo Donuts, which has been made famous on 10,000 TV shows. So anyway, a good time was had by all. And
yeah.
I thought since we're talking about food that you don't want to eat, that I'd just keep talking.
Yeah. It's not like they have, my company does the usual, it's customer appreciation, blah, 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 blah. And they're giving us, so like today they catered Mexican for lunch.
Oh, great.
Yeah, and it's like, all right, whatever. But I'm looking at chicken, so they will get some of that. So, still get some chicken tacos instead of whatever the beef product is that they put inside of them. But it was actually sponsored by a real restaurant, not Taco Bell or something like that. Yeah, that was kind of nice, actually.
Yeah. So you got a tamale side of the run.
Yeah. I discovered Quiznos has a California club sandwich.
Yes.
Which is
I can't remember what's on that.
Whatever they call. Huh?
Oh, go ahead. Because I couldn't remember what was on it.
It's got, they put a ranch dressing on it, what they call turkey, lettuce, tomato, onion. They put bacon on, but I just skip the bacon part, and then they put guacamole on it.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know what it is with guacamole first, a fast food restaurant, because I consider Quiznos and Subway LSOC fast food. They're not a delicatessen.
Right.
I don't know what preservative they put in these things. Oh, boy. Whatever it is, it doesn't preserve my stomach very long. So that is a vicious walk back to the office. I figured, that's actually a pretty good diet and everything. You eat it, your stomach soaks up, some of the stuff for the 15 minutes it takes me to walk back to work. Because
the rest of it would make a fire.
Yeah, it's nothing odd. So, yeah.
Wonderful.
I'm sure everyone would love to hear about our diets and our bathroom habits, but
yeah,
people don't pay to listen to these things to begin with, so they certainly don't want to listen to us do this for free. So let's get into something wrestling related.
Oh, sure. I forgot about that.
So, I don't know. Where do you want to begin? And you're the one who hasn't been out in a while. I know it's been hard to keep up, but for the most part, you're up to date with stuff. So,
right. As a matter of full disclosure, I haven't watched Monday Night Raw in like 2 weeks, I think. I completely missed Hell in a Cell. Of course, I read all about everything that's happened. I've got my fair share of opinions. The majority of the stuff that I've been paying close attention to revolves around Matt Hardy and Mick Foley, especially for the purposes of posting on Stunt Granny. But I don't know. I mean, we can talk about Hell in a Cell and the outcomes of things. If you want to start there.
Okay. I guess what I was curious about was one. All right. We'll start with one. I'll save my end until I hear what you think. But the entire Kane and Undertaker thing, the angle, it's just late and my vocabulary is losing me. what do you think of the whole program so far?
Honestly, when I read about all this Paul Bearer stuff, it just totally smacks of 1996 / Vince Russo. And that's not good. I mean, I love the fact that he's back. I love the fact that he's collecting a paycheck. I think that's awesome. I picture in my head the whole Undertaker Mankind feud from 96, where Paul Bearer acted like he was on the fence and then helped Mankind. There's so much history there. It's like, who burned who and who beat up who and who tombstone who and who buried who in concrete and all this stuff. That it's like, it's just another mind-numbing twist in this whole thing. And I don't know. And then the whole, and that's the Russo part of it too, is that it's just another swerve. Oh, they brought back Paul Bearer. Here's supposed to be a feel-good moment. Oh, whoops, there goes the rug, and now he's with Kane. Kane's still producing the best promos of his long-ass career, which is lengthening his time in WWE, which is good for him. And, again, congratulations to him for collecting a paycheck too. Got Undertaker on TV for a little bit during his summer vacation. Maybe he's done with vacation, I don't know. And it sounded like, by all accounts, that the match was very slow and boring at Hell in a Cell, that it was just punches followed by more punches and then other punches. So, I don't know. They didn't deliver where they were supposed to deliver. And that stinks, too, because Kane was supposed to be on his game, and Undertaker has been, like, match of the year candidate for the last 2 years. I don't know, maybe neither one were inspired, or maybe Undertaker's injury has finally caught up to him, and it's just time to hang it up. And maybe this is maybe this is the beginning of his little retirement tour that might culminate at WrestleMania. Who knows?
Well, see, that's what I was thinking.
I think going back to what you said first with the Russo part, with the whole Paul Bearer swerve, to me, yeah, it reminds me more of a TNA type swerve, to where you didn't build any heat on, no one had a chance to celebrate Paul Bearer and Undertaker being back together.
Right.
They were back together, and then the next week they were broken up.
Uh-huh.
And they really downplayed, I mean, WWE's done a decent job of changing the history of things for the last couple of months, really. Especially when it came to the Kane Undertaker thing. Kevin and I talked about it, where they made slight changes here and there. I mean, not huge ones, but still. I mean, they made it seem like Undertaker was responsible for Kane unmasking.
Yeah.
And that wasn't the case at all.
No, so, hell no. The tag match that involved Rob Van Dam, whose name is never going to get mentioned again.
Well, no. It was Kane versus Triple H on Raw. And it was Matt versus
that's right.
Title.
RVD was just teaming with him at the time. That's right. I just remember RVD being in the ring and convincing him that it was okay to take his mask off or something like that.
Yeah. And then 2 weeks later, Kane beat the hell out of RVD in a virtual squash match in a cage. Which is really pretty much the end for RVD for a long time.
Yeah.
But no, to me, I don't mind that they brought Paul Bearer in.
Yeah.
I don't even care that they turned it. I just don't like the time frame around it. Because the match was boring. That was where the feed kicked in for a little bit again. I was having satellite provider problems.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, but I missed the lightning and the whole light in the eyes and all that stuff. And I know people had a huge problem. Well, here's my thing. You've got a Hell in a Cell match for no reason. And the reason I think there's no reason is, again, it's only the second match back between the two. It shouldn't be to this point yet.
Right.
But then the Hell in a Cell, they've changed the product so much that the Hell in a Cell is nothing more than a glorified cage match.
Right.
There's no, and I don't mean the big wrist bumps. And I guess, pardon me, blood is necessary in the Hell in a Cell.
You've
got to sell these matches as being, I remember we talked about this before, and people bitched about it, and we kind of took a stance, you don't have to have blood in this. Well, with the Hell in a Cell, I really think you need to. You have to differentiate what a regular cage match is and the Elimination Chamber and the Hell in a Cell.
I remember talking about Undertaker versus Edge at SummerSlam 2008 and no blood being in that match. And I think I was actually on the side of you don't need blood if it's a good match.
Yeah.
And I still kind of stand by that. Like, I'm never going to say they have to have, if there's a cage around the ring, there must be blood. I'm not going to take that stance now all of a sudden. But it sucks that Hell in a Cell, A, does not end feuds anymore, and B, is being sold based on the spectacle rather than the violence. Because all you're really saying is pay $49.95 to see a big metal fence around a wrestling ring. And that's not fair.
You got it. Yeah. Well, yeah, even Kevin and I, we were discussing the cage itself. They mentioned that it was modified during the pay-per-view.
Yeah.
And it looks, and I couldn't tell if it, I thought it looked taller, but it was definitely skinnier. There wasn't as much room around the ring, in between the cage and the ring now.
I think that's really stupid because one of the best parts is watching the guys be able to work around the ring. You know, if you give them any space, you need to give them space to move.
Yeah, no, it was definitely smaller. You could tell it was smaller when Randy Orton went to punch Sheamus. It was the part that I actually got to catch when Dusty's neighbor wasn't having problems with his cable.
It's awesome. It's like you came up from under the ring.
Yeah, hey, Hornswoggle.
Yeah, awesome. I was waiting for a decent point to jump in there, so I actually shut my yapper for the first couple of minute or two that I was on the line.
I thought I heard the bell go off, but I just kept talking over it.
Yeah, I heard it too. Everyone, again, for the first timers, since we insist that there are people who are still listening for the first time, this is our resident booty call. This is Kevin DeFrango, fresh off of, Conquest number 4 or 5 tonight.
Hey, which one were you, the golden part or the flash part?
I would say golden.
Okay, good. As long as all parties are sure.
Oh, I'm glad you could pull yourself away from balls deep for a little while and come and do a radio test. So.
Thanks.
Yeah.
You need a little bit of rest in between number 3 and number 4.
Holy cow.
Nice. All right. So anyway, what was your point?
No, you were talking about how much narrower the cage was. When Randy Orton mm-hmm. went to punt, and I kind of agreed with what Eric was saying there way back, or a little bit back there, about them not needing to have blood, because the only match that I really caught was Orton versus Sheamus, and it was a really good match, and they didn't have any blood. But they really didn't use the cage at all either, which was still kind of gay.
Right.
When Orton, there was one point where Orton went to punt Sheamus on the outside of the ring, and you could tell that they could barely pull that maneuver off, like within the confines of how close the cage was to the ring apron.
And I wonder how costly mm-hmm. that change was, because if it turns out to be a mistake, like, oh, shit, we need to add 2 more feet to each side of the cage now if it's going to cost them another, X thousands of dollars to do that or not. It's just something that sounds like it was poorly thought out.
Well, and that's the thing that was strange to me when Jeremy and I were talking about that, is that he was talking about the height being modified. He thought it was taller than normal.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Either way, you're going to have to, completely rebuild that thing. And it's like, why would you waste your time rebuilding it when you have one that was, whatever the size was to start with? Like, it makes no sense to rebuild that.
No, not at all.
Yeah. Well, especially if it's built as this monstrous, demonic, perverse, whatever, attraction. You don't want to gloss the cage up. Make it look dingy and dirty and horrible, and really sell the fact that this is something totally different and not just another pay-per-view gimmick. I mean, I guess that's where I got hung up.
It would be like if you announced a new, monster heel coming in, and every vignette you're like, he's 6'10", he's 6'10", and then he shows up on TV and weighs, 205 pounds.
What, Eli Cottonwood?
Yeah, String Bean McGee.
Oh.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Eli, Jesus.
Yeah.
Yep. I don't know what other Hell in the Cell comments there are, but...
Well, I mean, just going with the Undertaker thing, and Kevin and I talked about this, it was Powell especially was really pissed off about first the match in general, but then he didn't like the whole fact that there were lights and, the urn was glowing and all this stuff. And my thing is, and it goes back to what you were saying earlier, this is like a 1996 angle. And with the product they're putting out now, this is the old Undertaker again, where he's got the gimmicky lights and, just the goofy gimmick again, the supernatural gimmick. So in that respect, it fits. For that match, I don't give the audience credit for having an attention span.
Right.
So they're caught up in this moment. They've already forgotten about, the submissions count anywhere, which I didn't understand that one, but or the actual solid match between Orton and Sheamus,
mm-hmm.
where there was nothing, it was just a regular contest. So it's like they got to make up their mind what they want to do, have the supernatural thing or just have straight wrestling.
Yeah, and I don't know. It's like... I actually watched a video of Glacier earlier today. It makes me think of Glacier and Wrath and Mortis back when WCW was still about wrestling and, kind of being dingy and dirty too. It's like, oh, here are these goofy Mortal Kombat characters. It's true. And I think of Paul Bearer at SummerSlam 94 with the urn, and then he took the lid off the urn and it had the huge searchlight in it. But you're right. I mean, that's their target demographic now, the kids that are going to like that stuff. I guess, you know, give it to them.
Yeah.
It looks cheesy to us diehards, but whatever. Someday, those kids are going to grow up and they're going to have their own podcast and they're going to hate on all this shit, too.
Wait, but going back to that, to me, it doesn't really seem that creepy. It just seemed like part of the course, really. It was like, oh, that's WWE. And it makes me remember when Shane Douglas came back to ECW and he said, I just got back from Cartoon Land.
Uh-huh.
And this was the exact shit that was going on. I mean, you had Undertaker fighting Kamala and who was the other black guy he fought?
Kama, the Ultimate Fighting Machine or something.
Right, yeah, the Supreme, yep.
Yeah, so, all right, let's get off of that, because that's just exhausting. And it's going to be a Hell in a Cell sort of thing, but Daniel Bryan had kind of a weird 2 days.
Yeah, I felt bad for that guy. He had a great match at Hell in a Cell. Got a win over the guy that he's feuding with, and then gets squashed the following night by Sheamus.
Okay. Will it be as bad if they follow it up this coming Monday, and Brian addresses it, and they're actually moving him into a feud with Sheamus?
You know,
I'll even talk to you guys and comment on it.
I'll just throw it out there quick. I thought about that too. I don't know what it does for either guy. I think Sheamus needs to remain on top for when Triple H comes back, and I don't think Daniel Bryan is ready to be beaten around by Sheamus yet. Sheamus is waiting for Triple H. Whoever Sheamus feuds with, Sheamus is going to beat. Daniel Bryan does not need to get beat yet. That's kind of how I see things going. Kevin, what about you?
Yeah, it's kind of hard to disagree with that logic. But, yeah, that's a pretty rough beating to take. But I don't know who else really that they have around there that could actually fulfill the obligations of a feud, you know what I mean? Like,
right.
who would they have for him other than Daniel Bryan that could, you know, look like a victory of some substance?
I don't know. I'm hoping. Honestly, John.
You know, without her. Oh yeah. Well, they can. I guess they could do R-Truth, but they've been cooling him off for a while at this point.
Yeah, that the dance off with Ted DiBiase. Yeah, they didn't do R-Truth any favors. But actually, that's a good point. Now that DiBiase's been demoted even further to a feud with Goldust. Maybe that makes R-Truth look like he came out on the right end of that feud. So, I mean, if we're just throwing names out there, there's R-Truth, there's John Morrison, Mark Henry and Evan Bourne, but those two are like the one-night, one-note things for people like Sheamus to go through in short order.
Well, it seems, to me, it seems like Mark Henry's now taking Santino's place. He's
okay.
The guy the crowd cheers for. He doesn't have the funny comedy bits, but he's the guy the crowd cheers for and then, you know, moves along.
Right.
He gets his win, everyone's happy at the end. So.
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know.
I feel for Daniel Bryan.
Because Sheamus actually, didn't he beat down Mark Henry once already?
Yeah, hell yeah, he did. And he beat the shit out of him more than many weeks in a row.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I like how
they'd be bad choices, too.
Yeah, and they've been trying to squeeze R-Truth into feud with people for the last year, you know, just have him come out and cut a promo, just kind of like, I know y'all don't like such and such, but blah, 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 WWE Universe, what's up? And then all of a sudden they have a feud for like 3 weeks. I mean, they could do that.
Now he has new music that's not as catchy. Dumbass.
Yeah. What is it again? What's the catchphrase?
I don't care.
Like, get
caught. Oh, I have no idea.
Oh, I don't even know. I think I fast-forwarded. I always fast-forward through it.
I think the words get crunk are in there because the first time I heard them either Jerry Lawler or Michael Cole reacted like, whoa, what did he just say? Like, this is, we can't be talking like this on TV programming.
Yeah, is this 2006 or 2007?
Yeah.
Wasn't that the last time someone actually used the word get crunked? Fucking
yeah,
idiot. They made him, like, bring out going, dynamite! And acting like it's a new thing.
He's coming out shucking and jiving.
Fucking clown.
next month, he'll be moving on up.
They'll have skits of him as Pretty Ricky working in what the hell is he, a laundromat. That was it.
Jesus.
God. It would have been better if I wouldn't have stumbled all over it, but oh well. All
right.
But no, I agree with you. I don't know about this whole Daniel Bryan thing, but if it would have caused, you know, Sheamus would have come out beating, like, did something, and then have, like, The Miz or even Alex Riley interfere a tad bit to cause the beatdown, at least there would be something, like, you know, that fork in the road, he could go that way instead of this way.
Yeah, you've got to have
but
this.
Right now, it's like,
you're going to have a long-term feud. You have to have a diversion like that once in a while. That's the perfect place for Alex Riley.
Yeah. You know, it's a greater problem, which I don't feel like getting into tonight. So, there's the really big news that came out of, well, it came out of Raw, and that was the Mystery GM trading Edge.
Yes.
And to me, I don't really have a lot to say because I just think this is a good idea to get him off of Raw, where he probably shouldn't have been anyways. So I'm just going to put that out there. I'll go to you. I'll go to Kevin first. What do you think about all that?
Should we have a spoiler alert in with this talk?
Sure.
Well,
okay.
I guess,
well, no.
Yeah. All right, spoiler alert.
Yeah. Anywho, well, no, they were saying that it's quite possible that, what, Punk has gotten traded to Raw?
That's the rumor I've heard, too.
Well, if that is the case, it's completely silly to have traded Edge to SmackDown. Like, it kind of voids out what could have been a positive.
Are you thinking a feud between the two or a connection with the two?
I don't know if it's even necessarily having a feud between the two. It's just having a little more star presence on SmackDown itself.
Yeah.
That's all. Like, I think Edge helped to maybe balance the rosters a tad more. Like, I don't know. They could possibly fight because Edge has weirdly been getting over with this whole ordeal. So, I mean, they could fight. I guess there's that potential in there. Because he would probably get cheered against CM Punk. That might get him somehow into the full-fledged face membership. But I think this goes back to something, too, that Jeremy has said before, is that people liked him because of the way he was when he was a heel, and he's kind of gone back to doing more of that stuff, and I think that people have started to cheer him now because of that.
Well, that's something that I wanted to bring up, if I can interject here, and it's more of a rant than an interjection. I mentioned Undertaker versus Edge from Hell in a Cell in 2008, and Edge was on fire as a heel that year. He was main eventing WrestleMania against Undertaker, SummerSlam against Undertaker. He was a fantastic heel, and they could not capitalize on that because of his injury in 2009. And I feel terrible for the guy because he's been a company guy for like 12 years now. I mean, he had the ball and he started to run with it, and then he hurt himself. And when he came back at that Royal Rumble at the beginning of this year, he just did not click, and I think he lost a ton of momentum. And, yeah, I think it's fantastic that he's getting it back now. I just wonder if, like, there are a few things, like the wishy-washiness. I know people are kind of cheering him, but he's acting like a heel, and it's like, I don't know if it's one of those things where they're going to let the crowd take it into their own hands, or, you know, you can't take a guy in his position and put him against – let's see, like the way you just said, he would get cheered because he's going against CM Punk. It sucks to think that way, that a top-level guy who's been around for 12 years will only get cheered by default based on the guy that he's wrestling. So it's like I'm wondering how over he is yet and how stable that is. So, yeah, I mean, I think it's cool that people are starting to cheer him, I guess is what I'm saying, after all the stumbling blocks that he's had to go through for the last year. But you're right. The balance of the rosters would have been better for SmackDown's sake, and if they lose CM Punk, I don't know. SmackDown is going to be just as weird. It's going to be like Edge versus what? Lance Archer or Vance Archer? Or fucking a dude buster?
Yeah, because I'm thinking that Alberto Del Rio is going to be occupied with Mr. Mysterio for at least another month.
Right. And that's another thing, too. Well, that goes back to the idea of, is Edge really a heel? You know, he's acting like a heel, but people are cheering him. So does he actually feud with a guy like Del Rio? Does he actually feud with Jack Swagger, who he had that confrontation with? And is he, I mean, maybe. I guess I'd have to see it play out to really see what I think about it. But to me, he's acting like a heel, and he should wrestle as a heel. But whatevs, you know, whatever the crowd, whatever the, however they react.
Well,
he is as best as a heel. Say that again. Sorry, I talked over you.
That's right. If Edge isn't a heel on SmackDown, they're still severely underwhelmed or underwhelming with heels. I mean, on the heel side. You've only got Swagger, Del Rio, and Kane. Kane's obviously occupying, and Del Rio is. And they've already given away Edge versus Swagger twice, which is another spoiler alert for Friday.
Yeah.
So they need to keep them a heel, but then you look at the face side, and it's Big Show. They've done that. Rey Mysterio, that's been done.
You know, you split up Cody Rhodes and Drew McIntyre already.
They shouldn't be a team anyways.
They
so I have no problem.
They were kind of... It seemed like they didn't have anything to do. Like, they don't have any singles guys that they could really go up against. Because haven't they both beaten MVP's ass at some juncture, or MVP's beaten them sometime recently? So, like, he's, like, the only guy in their kind of class.
Yeah, and Chris Masters, which, fuck, he's, like, the superstar staple.
On the roster.
Well, and there's always JTG. But you know what? Where the fuck is Shad?
You know what? He was injured, though.
Okay, that's true. No, I'm thinking of Shad, but it's funny because my friend Scotto asked me, where's Ezekiel Jackson? I go, I think he's with Shad in Black Guy Terror Purgatory.
They are pushing Kofi to have MVP, so that's, you know, that's their player for SmackDown. Can't handle four.
Hey, take about 3 steps forward and hold your right arm out. You're starting to lose reception, Jeremy.
Awesome. I love Verizon.
Much better. Okay.
Figures. I didn't mind the trade. I'm not digging the CM Punk thing. I'm with Kevin on this one.
The only thing it's going to do for me is it's going to make Raw a lot more entertaining. And since that's the show that I watch more often, then there you go.
And having CM Punk in a live show, I think, would be better anyways.
I just wondered if his commentary stint, his 1-week stint on NXT, was kind of a test run for heel CM Punk on live television.
Yeah, good call. Good call. We're not going to talk about the show that barely exists. So,
oh, my girl got voted off. I did see that.
Janie?
Yep.
Poor thing.
Yeah.
That was not a
good one. All right. So, no, just real fast. It really speaks to you if you constantly pander to the audience and they still vote you off first. That's how much of a nothing you are. So, I mean, I think If it's, yeah, exactly. That has more personality than she showed. So, I don't know why I'm hating on the girl so much, but it's just like, you know, it was a concert. Hey, WWE Universe. Like, oh, shut the fuck up.
Which is funny because you basically just cut every MVP promo, except you just did it in a female voice. Cody Rhodes, I know you're a second-generation wrestler, but I'm not a second-generation wrestler. The WWE Universe ain't a second-generation wrestler. That's my impression of an MVP.
Oh, my God. I actually never really realized that's how pandering he was.
Dude, it's perfect, though, isn't it? That's how terrible he is.
Oh, God. Now I'm going to have to go to YouTube and watch MVP promos now.
I really cracked myself up with that one. Sorry.
I totally lost where I was. So, anyway, that was our NXT review for this week. I'm trying to think, what other big things happened? The only other big angle, the only other really big thing, TNA really hasn't done anything wrong or correct, so there's no need to bring them up. But
I thought you were going to mention Goldust and the Million Dollar Belt, sorry. That's the next big thing.
No, not at all.
I love it. Okay, go ahead.
Yeah. Well, well, there is the actual legitimate one of John Cena joining Nexus.
All right.
But to me, a bigger story out of that is the inclusion of... What? I missed something stupid.
No, I'm just really hoping that your version of the big news coming out of this is that little kid yelling and screaming.
Oh, no. God, I forgot about him already. Thank God.
Oh, okay.
No, it was going to be... Well, no, it was going to... It was actually on a serious note. That Husky Harris and Michael McGillicuddy, I remembered it for a change.
Yeah.
Have finally got up to the main roster, and they're putting them in as, you know, associates of Nexus.
Yep.
And they got rid of Michael Tarver, and they've kind of just forgotten Skip Sheffield existed.
So, I think that's a shame. I think Michael Barber is starting to come into his own. If you're going to get rid of anybody, why the fuck don't you get rid of Heath Slater? That guy looks like he should have teamed up with fucking Chris Harris in TNA like 5 years ago. To me, you keep Michael Tarver and then you add McGillicuddy and Husky Harris.
Yeah, well, I think in my blog there, I don't know how good Tarver is in the ring still. Like, I don't think he has seemed any better to me since he's been off of NXT, and he's been involved in a number of the matches for Nexus.
Yeah.
But man, he's been killing it on the promos since they let him loose, really.
Well, that's exactly it. That's where he's coming into his own. Like, I'll go back to one of the first episodes of NXT where I said I thought Heath Slater was an okay wrestler because he was creating a lot of movement and doing a lot of little things right, whereas Tarver obviously wasn't. But if you want to go by looks, which is big for WWE, and attitude and personality, Tarver's got it. Heath Slater doesn't.
No. They're not even comparable in that department.
Yeah.
Well, as I told Kevin, Heath Slater is just a new age Christian. He's going to be one of those guys that's always going to be around, but never really matter much unless he's paired with somebody.
There you go.
So, and to him, hey, great. You're getting money out of it, so great for you. But
yeah.
There's nothing that's ever, if you want to put electrifying about him, it's just like, there's that guy, the Wendy's mascot.
One man rock band. Yep, he sure looks like he has a good time at the rock and roll show. Bet he picks up a lot of chicks watching Nickelback.
Yeah, he's that guy that when you're at the theater, you're like nudging your friend going, Look at this tool. He's dancing by himself. I was like, oh, God.
Yeah, why would you, if you, I'm sorry, I just imagine that, looking like Heath Slater and then going out in public. That would just be embarrassing for everybody.
Okay.
Stupid gingers.
Oh. Yeah. But hey, more about Michael McGillicuddy and Husky Harris real quick. McGillicuddy, the name still sucks. I really wish that they would just hit reset on that and have him explain it and then move on with his real name. But, you know, and Husky Harris, I love the guy. I think he's awesome. I think he deserves it. Of everyone who wasn't Cabal from that season, and I know we used to love Husky, or what's his name, Percy Watson, I think the correct two guys got called up to the main roster, so I'm very happy about that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
oh, and Alex Riley, obviously.
Yeah, no, you're,
sorry.
Yeah, Husky Harris is such a dickhead. He really fits in with the Nexus group, I think.
Yeah.
He played a great dickhead, and he will continue to do so and help get booze for Nexus.
I see. I'm still hoping that this turns into a Nexus on SmackDown, some sort of version of it.
Sure.
Because it's still because he wanted to discuss big plans. He was discussing stuff with them.
Mm-hmm.
And we've got Skip Sheffield coming back as well. And McGillicuddy, you know, he's probably the best talker of the group to get stuff. All right, if you split him off, McGillicuddy would have to be the voice.
Yeah.
Yeah. Husky Harris did a fine job talking, but he doesn't. He's got more of the this is how it is, matter of fact, so to speak. Not the kind of like, if you want to put it in rap terms, not the hype man. If you want to leave it that way, he's not a hype man. Anderson type.
Actually, no. I look at it the opposite way. I see exactly what you mean. But to me, Husky Harris is more the Flavor Flav, because he's the sizzle. You know, he's got the attitude and the personality.
Mm-hmm. Well,
Michael McGillicuddy is the Chuck D, because he actually gets the message across. He can deliver it in a WWE style. He can tell a whole story, whereas Husky just throws in a "Yeah, boy!" every once in a while for you know a little bit of shine. How'd you like that one?
I'll tell you why I'm laughing off the air.
God, okay.
I'm trying to figure out who the Terminator X of the group would be.
Terminator X.
I guess that's
DJ.
I mean, they got rid of Michael Tarver, so he's out. question why they got rid of Tarver. So.
No, Titus O'Neil. Titus O'Neil is your Terminator X.
Oh, Jesus Christ. No. I honestly don't see, maybe Percy Watson. That's it for that last season.
Oh, yeah, as far as guys, sorry, never mind.
Coming back?
Y'all can fill in the blanks from there. As far as guys, the other guy who should have been called up, yeah, Percy Watson for sure. There'd be a good third guy.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure Percy's it. And I can't see, unless they bring back Lucky Cannon just to make fun of him the entire time. Oh,
yeah.
Sorry, one more thing, Kevin. Big. There's the tag team of the future, Heath Slater and, is that jackass you just mentioned? Heath Slater and Lucky Cannon. Yeah. Okay, there you go. Sorry, Kevin, go ahead.
Oh, no, that's cool. No, that's why I got a kick out of it. Like, a bunch of people thought right at the beginning of season two that it was a better crop overall than what they had on season one. I'm like, okay, I'll see how things pan out. But really, like, all the guys from the original show at least got something done. Like, Skip Sheffield became miraculously better after getting off of that show and as part of Nexus.
Yeah.
Justin Gabriel, everyone kind of liked. Wade Barrett was cool with everybody. Daniel Bryan was down with everyone. Tarver, I think when he started not caring, he started cracking me up on NXT. I think that's when his kind of thing turned. So, I mean, there's almost all of them there. Otunga, he's another one. He just seems to have gone downhill. Anywho.
Uh-huh.
And who's the other guy? Who am I missing? Slater, we've killed him enough.
You know what, though? I think I would put it even. I think you're right. I think that season two got a lot of hype. I would put it, at best, a push. I think that they're the same number of stinkers on both episodes, same number of middling guys, and then really where on season one you had Daniel Bryan and Wade Barrett, on season two you had Cavall and Alex Riley. I think you had your definite two front runners, your definite two jobbers, and your four guys that were in the middle that are like, you know, wait and see what they can do.
Yeah, well, it's funny, they brought them all in and then weeded some out, too.
Oh, yeah.
Like, they were like, all right, well, here's the whole cast of first season one, but they're like, well, shit, this guy's still no good, so we're just going to give it to him, and then we'll give this guy a chance, and he just blew it. But it also, going back, to bring up something Kevin mentioned about Otunga, he was never that impressive to me, but if they do want to break him up, he would be, he could actually be the spokesperson or the mouthpiece for the other half.
Sure.
Because they're clearly playing at something with him trying to take over the group or, you know, trying to get his thing going.
Right.
And the example is, you know, he made the plan without Barrett knowing, but then he was also trying to talk up John Cena.
Right.
But he's trying to rally people on his side. So it's an interesting thing. I mean, actually, no praise, they'll do anything cool with it, but at least it's something interesting that got this guy doing, because in the ring, I don't remember the last time he actually wrestled.
Other than the multiple man tag matches? Me either.
Yeah, I don't even count those.
Yeah. Honestly, David Otunga is getting a re-push because Jennifer Hudson is part of an ad campaign for, like, Weight Watchers or something right now. I just saw a commercial with her on TV the other day where she lost, like, 30 pounds. She's like, I'm back to my high school weight. I promise you.
Yeah.
Now that she's relevant.
No, I think I saw that, too, actually, and that in no way surprises me.
No.
Yeah. The only commercial I remember is one where they make the retarded girl prom queen. So,
which one is that?
You've never seen that commercial?
What, is that a Jenny Craig or Weight Watchers commercial?
No, it's one of these this really, like, okay, I'll try and remember to post these links too, but it's basically, they show all of what they consider beautiful people to look like. You know, there's like the light-skinned black girl who's friends with the blonde hottie, and all this stuff, okay?
Right.
And they're the, I think it's homecoming.
Uh-oh. Which one of you did I lose?
No, I'm still here.
Oh, Jeremy took a wrong step somewhere and can't finish explaining the commercial.
Oh, that poor sucker. And it does have to be the guy that was talking he was in the middle of a thought.
Yeah, and it was in the middle of a unique thought, something that we can't even pick up. I've never seen the commercial. I have no idea what he's talking about.
Yeah, well, and I've seen the commercial, but wow, he knows way more about it than I ever will.
He's been watching it on YouTube all day, dissecting it, like, I'm going to talk about this on the audio.
Yeah, he hasn't gotten enough. I still can't believe, I'm shocked that Matt Hardy somehow went from, like, 81 last Friday to 86 on Monday or something like that. And Jeremy hasn't sent me any of those video links. I've seen them on .net.
Yeah. Oh, that's funny. Yeah, usually Jeremy's been on top of that. For those of you who haven't heard Jeremy get outed yet, every time Matt Hardy posts a video, I think that Jeremy gets an alarm on his phone or something, because he will send them to us all. He will send every one of us on the Stunt Granny crew a message on, like, Gmail chat. You know,
some of us, like Dusty, are much wiser than others like myself, who end up watching these shit things all the time.
Hey, Jeremy, you
know what?
Why
doesn't suck a dick?
No, see, you're talking about
service. I never had drop calls on T-Mobile. I never had one fucking drop call. The only time this son of a bitch thing drops is when we're doing these things.
Hey, it's okay, though, because you talking about a retarded girl made us think of Matt Hardy, so we were talking about him for the last 30 seconds.
Nah, that's fine. It's the same damn thing. They put him in a stupid face in a dress, and it'd be the exact same thing. God, just totally do whatever.
So what was the parallel you were drawing with this commercial then?
I don't know. You were talking about, I don't really remember too many commercials.
Oh,
except
okay.
for this one. Basically, it's just, you know, the typical, like, this is what everyone thinks real life is like with all the beautiful people and all that stuff. And
oh, right.
So they're like, okay, and we're going to announce the homecoming queen is blah, blah, blah. And it's like Wendy Richter. I don't know. I don't know what the girl's name is. And all of a sudden you see, like, everyone goes, oh, all shocked. And then they're happy for her and she's tearing. So, of course, this doddering fool comes out on stage and is like, hello! And it's like, oh.
Oh, my God.
It's just, it's so patronizing. If you're in high school, you elect the retarded girl homecoming queen because you're a dick.
I bet they used the yellow helmet, too, instead of a tiara.
No, it actually gave her a tiara.
No,
but,
I disagree. Yellow helmet, all the way.
No, it's just, I'll try to remember to find that link, too.
It's
just so awful. It's just patronizing. Like, we had a dwarf in our school, and we elected her to the homecoming court just to be dickheads.
Aww.
I don't care. That was in high school. But, I mean, it was a mean thing to do, but there's nothing I can do about it now. But at the same time, it's like, you know, you see all this shit now, and it's like, whatever.
That was a real low point, wasn't it, Jeremy?
No, I didn't care. I didn't know her.
Let me say that again. That was a real low point, wasn't it, Jeremy?
Oh, Jesus Christ, whatever.
Sorry.
This is so bad. Oh, boy. But, yeah, no, I'll try. You know what? I'll actually go to Google now and start looking at this stuff now, or YouTube, whatever.
Thanks.
But what were you guys saying about Matt Hardy? Because I'm always good for a Matt Hardy, you know, conversation.
Yeah, I was expressing my amazement at Matt Hardy recording, like, 5 or 6 videos there in the span of about 5 days, because he went, I think it was last Friday on .net, I saw 81, and then on Monday, this past Monday here, I saw 86. I was like, good God, boy. And you hadn't forwarded any of them to me. What the hell is your problem?
Slacker.
Dude, I told you, work is getting in the way of me slacking. And it doesn't make me very happy at all. So,
funny.
But I can only take a close-up of his round face, licking his lips, and using, like, Ferris Bueller lines for so long. So,
licking the powdered donut off his face?
Yeah. Yeah, that's powdered donut.
Yeah, right, especially given the latest legal problem. Kevin, did you see that picture of Matt Hardy from a couple weeks ago? I forwarded it to Jeremy, but did you see this picture of him at the gym?
I don't think I did see it.
Okay, that's the other thing that's going to get posted on the forum sometime either tonight or tomorrow. And I didn't realize that it was 2 weeks old, but Matt Hardy posted a picture of himself at the gym with, like, this ripped-ass six-pack torso thing going on. Except for you can blatantly see, like, this blue spot in between his belly button and his like, track pants, where you can just tell somebody photoshopped this photo together. They cobbled some fucking picture of Matt Hardy and somebody that actually has a physique together. And he posted it on his own Twitter account as though it was him. He's like, down to 222. I'm like, what, are you down to fucking 222 packs of Skittles a day? What? What's 222?
No, that means he's across the street and 3 houses down from 227.
No. So he and Jack A are eating dinner tonight.
Ew, Matt.
Mary. Hey, Mary. Mary, God damn it, 227. You son of a bitch.
Yeah. Yuck.
Well, anyway, so we'll post that, too, at some point.
Yeah. Hey, what was the other one I was supposed to find and post? What was it? Ramming Speed.
Yes. There you go.
Okay.
Cool.
Well, I don't know. Was there anything else we were going to talk about? I think that was all the topics you mentioned to me over IM earlier today.
Yeah, I just wanted to, you know, get some word out there, see what was going on, see if we had any different opinions. But all right, listen, I guess I'll log off first like usual. So all right, I'll do the plugs part. All right, we got a forum. There's a link on the website. It's free. Go to it. We have a Twitter account that we update every once in a while. We have an unofficial Facebook page that is so unofficial, no one's a friend of it.
I did that on purpose, though. So no one friend it yet because I'm just using it to play with Facebook for the time being.
Yeah.
And when we have an official launch, I think Kevin and I actually talked about this. When we have an official launch, we might have some ideas up our sleeves.
Okay, cool. And then if you feel like you can follow us on Twitter, both Stunt Granny, and if you want, you can follow me. I am J.E. Maze. I don't say anything fun, but I feel sad to only have a few followers. So, yeah. All right, so we'll talk to everyone next time. Later.
Cool. I'm going to log off next because Kevin's always the one that's got the fun thing to end with. So glad I got back in the saddle again here, and we'll be seeing you in the future weeks. Peace and chicken grease.
Okay, you know, grandkids, after second Yingling and a fine night of more fun than I've had in a while, this is him signing off.